darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is the gospel of the Lord. To him who loves us and has washed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The people, they just kept on coming back. Who wouldn't? Who would not stop coming back? They had received multiplied bread and fish from Christ and they wanted more. The problem, though, is that during the night, Jesus had crossed over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Their food supplier had left them. Therefore, when the crowd woke up, they began to search for Jesus, which led them to the other side of the sea where Jesus was. Now, obviously, at first glance, this seems like a good thing. Is it not good when people seek Christ out and go to him? Should we not applaud and cheer and be excited when people get closer to Jesus? Well, here's the catch. There is a catch. This group of people that came to Jesus, their motives were just downright mixed, if not actually wrong. Keep in mind that the day before, they were about to take Jesus by force and make him their king. Jesus was a rock star to them. And they were like a hungry paparazzi following his every move. They would have liked nothing more than to crown him king and to take him by force and overthrow the ruthless dictators of the day and have it their way. They wanted him as their king, which is commendable. However, they wanted him as a king that would be in debt to their ambitions and their desires. These self-centered desires are only amplified and become real obvious as we listen to our gospel reading from today more closely. In our gospel reading, we heard that Jesus fleshes out their true desires for seeking after him. Now, there's an ugly reality, a very ugly reality to the motives that we have for following Christ. It should come as no surprise to you and me that we Christians often do not have the best track record for following Christ and seeking him out. From our gospel reading, We hear that this group of people were not drawn to Jesus on the basis of his teaching and for who he was, but they were drawn to Jesus because they were entertained by his miracles and because their bellies were full from the food that he provided. It was free food, I might add. Now keep in mind that the miracles that Jesus performed were holy and they were just and they were perfect and they were true. These signs, these miracles of healing the sick and multiplying the food were to serve as Jesus' credentials, the proof that he was who he claimed to be, the Savior of the world. These miracles, these signs that Jesus did, were to grant the people faith, faith in him. Jesus was not trying to entertain and fill guts, but he wanted to create faith and serve the crowd's physical needs, as well as spiritual. The problem was not with the actions of Jesus, but with the crowd's response and their interpretation of Christ's miracles. So, from the perspective of the crowd, Jesus provided free food and free entertainment. Who could not be for this? Which leads us to ask, hasn't free food and free entertainment always drawn a crowd? Sadly, has anything changed in our day and age? Generally speaking, food and entertainment are powerful motives. Give us food and give us a little bit of good entertainment where we can be wowed and where we can have a full stomach without having to pay anything, and we are in. Even if the entertainment isn't that great, if there's free meal, if there's a free meal, many of us, myself especially, I'm in. I lunge at a cheap and a free meal. Frankly speaking, the motives of the crowd in our gospel reading were selfish at best. In other words, what was so important that they had to track Jesus down on the other side of the lake? Well, it was food and entertainment. They saw Jesus as a bread vending machine that was broken and just spit out bread everywhere without any cost and without any coins. They were simply entertained and fed. Considering this, is this who Jesus is? Is he one who merely entertains and feeds? My friends, Christ is so much more. We want to be entertained and fed, there's no doubt about it. In of itself, there's nothing wrong with enjoying some good food with friends and enjoying some good entertainment with friends and loved ones and family members. But when this becomes the main motive to go to church or to be a Christian, we have serious problems. As I think about this story in our gospel reading, I'm reminded of a time while I was serving in Southern California, in Rancho Cucamonga, California, at a church that I pastored. And every year, the church down the street would actually appeal to the people's needs to be entertained by advertising free In-N-Out hamburgers. And by the way, if you have not had an In-N-Out hamburger, they are to die for. Free hamburgers at their worship service, along with a bouncy castle and games. Because our worship service time was a little bit ahead of their worship service, we would have our service, and then after our service, many of our parishioners would go down the street to that church for the free meal and some good fun. Why not? Now, just thinking about this makes me laugh, makes me chuckle. The church was trying to attract people, and it did, a handful of faithful attenders of the church that I pastored at. The parishioners from my church figured, why not get some free food and free entertainment? Besides this being kind of funny, the problem with this mentality and the problem with this kind of temptation for the church in America in our modern day and age is that to appeal to these motives of feeding and entertainment is really a distraction. In fact, it is quite easy to do. It is extremely easy, I might add. It is extremely easy to attract a crowd, my friends. But here's why this is so detrimental. If the church gathers a crowd by entertainment and food, if the church gathers people by trying to wow them into the church, generally speaking, this will be the very thing that is needed to keep the crowd at the church. In other words, this crowd that surrounded Jesus, looking upon the signs of Jesus as entertainment, they thought it was great to be fed great food and this entertainment, and the next day they wanted more. Fill our stomachs more, Jesus. Show us something more amazing. Give us a sign. Impress us. Wow us. Make us excited. And then give us food. Then we will follow you, Jesus. Just wow us a little bit more. Give us free food and we will be your disciples. My friends, Jesus is so much more. He is so much more than mere entertainment. And he's so much more than just a bread machine. Think about what we have heard in our gospel reading. The bread ran out from the day before, and they came back looking for more. And I'm sure that Christ could have made some more bread for them. He could have done some more miracles, but he was not content to let them merely marvel at his signs and his gifts and not see himself as the Messiah. The reason why? Jesus was and is so much more. As a result, Christ, he exposes the crowd's motives. And he goes right for their jugular. Listen to what he says. Truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves, you had your bellies filled, and you want me to do it again. Stop worrying about your bellies and start worrying about your eternal life. End of a paraphrase. Dear friends, if we are totally honest with ourselves, we can't help but admit that we all struggle with the same motivations. As we contemplate our own motives, there are so many times that we look to Christ and we want to be wowed. We may say to ourselves, I know that old gospel story. I've heard it 1,000 times, but God, do something that I want. Give me a great sign. Feed my belly and show me something that will make me want to come back the next week for more. I don't want the ordinary. I want something extraordinary. Impress me. Wow me. Give me that excited feeling so I can feel deep down in my gut that excitement and be entertained. Truthfully, we have our own wants and desires and our own plans. Yes, there are times where our intentions are wrong and sinful. There are times when we call upon Christ not as our Savior and Defender and deliver, but as an entertaining bread machine. We worry too much about our bellies and not enough about our eternal life. My friends, in Christ, the reality is that you and I, have been given every sign that we need to have faith. And what more could we ask for? The day that Christ was crucified, the earth, it shook. Darkness came on the land. The curtain was torn as Christ proclaimed the words, "It is finished." Do we honestly need another sign? The tomb is empty, my friends. Christ rose from the grave. What else do we possibly need? Furthermore, God does not merely fill our bodies with food that is temporary. He fills us with his body and his blood. This is a gift that grants us forgiveness of sins and ministers to the depths of our soul. Mere food cannot do this. In the Lord's Supper, our souls are ministered to, and the Lord's Supper has eternal ramifications. Basic food merely goes into our stomach and comes out the next day. However, the Lord's Supper abides with us and has eternal ramifications. God also has chosen. He has also chosen not to simply entertain you and me into the kingdom. Rather, you and I are baptized into the kingdom of God. We are washed. We are brought from death to life. We are counted as members of a new household, and we are marked with God as he paints his name upon our forehead and our hearts in our baptisms. Can you imagine? Can you imagine for a moment having a God who would have to woo us into the kingdom of God by entertainment and food? If that is the kind of God that we would actually have, that would be a pathetic, powerless joke of a God. Dear friends, Christ is so much more. No, I take that back. Christ is not so much more. He is not more. He is completely different. He is not a bread machine. He is not an entertainer. He does not perform like some street performer. He does not entertain you, but he comes to you and he grants you and me faith, bringing us from eternal damnation to eternal life. He does not try and hold our attention by performing signs that distract us from other alternatives. His sign of the cross and the empty grave actually do something to and for us. In Christ, we are declared righteous. In Christ, our sins are actually forgiven. He doesn't merely feed us with temporary food that only lasts a while, but he is the bread of heaven that has come for you and me. And now we are given eternal life, the eternal word of God that feeds our soul, the word that will never perish. Baptized saints, Jesus, praise God that Jesus is not a circus entertainer or a rock star or a life coach or an example. Jesus is not some mere inspirational guru that we use to get to a different end, but rather Jesus is the crucified and resurrected Savior who gives certain signs and proofs that he is who he says he is, certain signs and proofs of God's love for you, which surpasses all worldly understanding. In Christ, you have been adopted as a child of God. You have been declared not guilty of your sin. You have been converted from death to life. You have been rescued from hell, death, and damnation, and the wrath of God. You have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. You have been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. Jesus promises never to leave you and never to forsake you. He has authored your faith and promised to continually perfect it. In Christ, you are accepted. You are accepted. You are accepted. Jesus is not a bread machine, but the bread of life. Receive him, my dear brothers and sisters. Receive him. Believe upon Christ, my friends, for he is your sustenance today, tomorrow, and for all eternity. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.pastormattrichard.org or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.zionwinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.